A reading from the second book of Kings. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, he and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here. The Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you," Elisha replied. And so the two went on together. 50 of the guild prophets followed. And when the two stopped at the Jordan, they stood facing them at a distance. Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, which divided, and both crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask for whatever I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha answered, "May I receive a double portion of your spirit?" "You have asked something that is not easy," Elijah replied. "Still, if you see me taken up from you, your wish will be granted, otherwise not." As they walked on conversing, a flaming chariot and flaming horses came between them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. When Elisha saw it happen, he cried out, "My father, my father, Israelites' chariots and drivers." But when he could no longer see him, Elisha gripped his own garment and tore it in two. Then he picked up Elijah's mantle that had fallen from him and went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan, wielding the mantle that had fallen from Elijah. Elisha struck the water in his turn and said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When Elisha struck the water, it divided and he crossed over. The word of the Lord. Let your hearts take comfort, all who hope in the Lord. How great is the goodness, O Lord, which you have in store for those who fear you, and which, towards those who take refuge in you, you show in the sight of the children of men. You hide them in the shelter of your presence from the plottings of men. You screen them within your abode from the strife of tongues. Love the Lord, all you his faithful ones. The Lord keeps those who are constant, but more than requites those who act proudly.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you may not appear to others to be fasting except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you. Verbum Domini. Our first reading today discusses or presents to us the ascension or the assumption of Elijah, the prophet. And this is a great pulling together of this whole series of stories about Elijah. Remember, it began with him taking on people because they were worshiping Baal. Baal was the god of the storm. And he was the one that the pagans looked to bring rain. He would fight against his brother, the sea, that was also a god. Just like among the Greeks, they had Poseidon, and the Romans worshiped Neptune, the god of the sea. They worshiped Yam, the god of the sea. And in the fight, Baal would take fresh water from his brother and then carry it over to the earth. And as that worship developed, it had two qualities that made it worse and worse. One, they were sacrificing their children, especially their boy babies. They would kill boy babies to sacrifice in hopes of prosperity. Not too different from our culture. Look at the way that they promise women that if you kill your babies in your womb, then you'll be better off. You can finish school, you can get a good job, you won't have to take maternity leave and all these. You'll be more prosperous and you'll be just like a man. No, you won't. You know, the dignity is destroyed by such an act. But it's no different than the worship of Baal. And the second is that they would also celebrate, because it was a fertility god, they would celebrate Baal with orgies just to get him induced to start bringing the rain. And again, some politicians are encouraging such, passing out condoms and such when they're at rallies. Just like the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, in kol chadash tachat ha-shamash, there's nothing new under the sun. And the other thing, too, that is very important is in going against Baal, Elijah, as you hear in some of my own comments about the way politics comes into play, was also necessarily having to go against the king and queen of Israel. The queen was Jezebel, and her husband, Ahaz, married her, a Phoenician, a Canaanite, who came to Israel as someone who not only worshiped Baal, but she was a Baal missionary who killed the prophets of the Lord God, except for Elijah, and who tried to impose the worship of Baal by having prophets of Baal succeed and get paid by the government. And in this great event of his ascension, it's pulling together how he had defeated the prophets of Baal, and then in the name of the Lord, he prayed for rain. And he got rain because he went to the Lord. In the name of the Lord, he had stopped rain for 3.5 years. And in the name of the Lord, he called rain back down. Because it is not some God that is a storm. You don't deify nature. You understand nature with your mind. And you cooperate with the forces of nature that the Lord God placed into nature. But the Lord God is the Lord of nature. None of the things of nature are to be deified. When they do, you see exactly what happened to Baal worship. They move towards the stories of the gods, stories of sex and violence. Read the ancient myths. And you'll see how those two themes dominate the control of nature. And Jezebel was pushing for that against her husband, who was somewhat weaker than she. Her name, by the way, and this is key to today's text, her name, Jezebel, means Ezebul, where is the prince Baal? That's her name. And Elijah defeats Ahaz, the prophets, and Jezebel. He even has a new king anointed, the general Jehu, and he kills Ahab in battle. And when Jezebel is defeated and recognizes him coming, she tries to seduce the general. Her husband just died in battle. She goes to the window and tries to seduce him. He throws her out the window, and she dies where Naboth had been killed. Remember, this was the guy that died we saw in the reading yesterday. So all of this defeat of those who, of Baal, his prophets, and his political proponents is now being celebrated by his ascension. He was used by the Lord to bring about reform. And now, at this point of his departure, in great reward, by being taken up to heaven, even bodily. He's not in control of this, that this is something that God's Spirit has to do, namely, to see to whom the Spirit of the Lord and prophecy will be given. He said, you can ask for it, Elisha, which means, my God saves. That's what Elisha means. Elijah is the Lord is my God. Elisha is my God saves. And as he says, if you see me go up, then that my spirit will come upon you. And he receives the spirit of Elijah, and his cloak that falls off is then picked up and uses it to hit the Jordan water as Elijah had done, and it stops up so that he has the same power as the prophet Elijah. And in a new situation, the kings that come next actually support Elisha. And we'll see in the episodes about his ministry that he can actually cooperate with the new kings. They learned some lessons. They still need correction, but they stopped promoting Baal, and they were corrected. This prophetic ministry is appropriate to consider in the way that it helped bring reform of an evil form of religion and removed Baal and helped the politicians to change. It's appropriate for this feast of St. Romuald. He was born around 950, 951. And the church was in a very, very bad state because the popes had gotten so intertwined with the political leaders of their day. And the political leaders were basically little warlords, and they were using the papacy against each other, sometimes killing the pope to put their own guy in. And the 10th century papacy was the lowest time in the history of the papacy because they had gotten too close to politicians. And that's always a mess for religious people to do. Standing aloof is a good thing. Well, one of these nobles slash warlords got into a debate up with somebody, you know, and they settled it with a duel with St. Romuald's father. And St. Romuald was his second in the duel, you know, with swords in those days. And he realized by helping to kill somebody, by going back to violence, he had sinned greatly. He tried to join a Benedictine monastery, and the monks did to him what they did to St. Benedict. He wanted too much reform, and they didn't. So they kicked him out. And then he went and started a new branch of Benedictines at Campo Maldali. And this is why they call his order Camaldolese. These are hermits, semi-hermits. They live in hermitages close by so they can come together for mass. But they spend their time in their cells praying. And in his rule, he calls them to make the psalms the basis of their prayer and to find Christ in their prayer, and especially the reading of the psalms. He helped start a great reform among the monks, and eventually, this will be the kind of monastery to which St. Peter Damian ends up going for the same kind of background. He came from a noble family filled with fights, and he gets away from it all to the monastery. But he also goes about reforming the monasteries, which had gotten into lots of sexual corruption, as well as the parish priests, many of whom were getting married. They were living with their girlfriends in the rectories. And he almost was killed himself for trying to reform them, as well as reforming the monasteries, which mostly had same-sex attraction issues. Reform by prophetic figures is constantly necessary. This is one of the points all of us have to understand. That human, as a Pope recently said, Pope Francis, human nature is inherently good, but it is fallen. And it's sort of like raspberries. I like raspberries. And raspberries easily get moldy and rot, right? And they do that in the package. You preserve them by putting some sugar on them. Not only does it prevent the mold, but it brings out the flavor. For us, we're not raspberries, we're not that simple. It takes more than sugar. It takes the grace of Jesus Christ. He's the one who not only preserves us, but improves us. And in that way of his grace, changing us, sweetening us, and preserving us from corruption, he can use us to help bring about reform in our society against those who are still disciples of Baal's violence and sex, and also within the church to help transform where there is a loss of faith and morals. The Lord can use us to bring it back.